So today we'll pick up the last section of The Imprint of Silent Illumination. But first I'd like to remark again on the last lines from yesterday. The text said, like geese preferring milk to water, like bees gathering the choicest pollen, when silent illumination reaches the ultimate, it penetrates from the most subtle to the greatest. Silent illumination reaching the ultimate is an awkward and fairly inaccurate description. I imagine there is a translation issue moving from English to the characters in Chinese. This line simply means that body and mind have fallen away. The practitioner has forgotten herself in Mu, has been lost to the sound of wind, rain, and to the winter's cold. She has come completely to each number and breath counting. And this is important and has been confirmed by the myriad things. Dogen then defines the experience saying to be confirmed by the myriad things is to cast off body of mind as well as those of others. As we were advised at the beginning of Sesshin, Sesshin means both to touch and be touched by the great heart mind of the Buddha. It is wonderful to sit in Mu as Mu. It is delightful to sit in the wind, rain, and cold, the self completely forgotten. And yet, Yamada Roshi said, when your consciousness has become ripe by true Zazen, pure like clear water, like a serene mountain lake not moved by any wind, then anything may serve as a medium for realization. When you sit the way you are presently sitting, when you're practicing the way you are right now, like geese preferring milk to water, like bees gathering the choicest pollen, you will naturally, when distracted, return to your practice. Anything at this time can be the medium for realization, so do not reject anything, but please do not grab at anything either. Trust your condition, trust your practice, and trust your life as you unfold uniquely like a winter flower. When the body and mind have fallen away, there is not a place from the greatest to the most subtle that won't touch or be touched. It will gleam in the eyes of a midge, but also will be wider than the heavens and planets. So please, on this day, when it is easy to reach forward, when it is easy to get lost in insightful thought or feeling, when it is easy for one moment's daydream to spread out for hours, please keep your hands open, be diligent, and carry your practice like the precious jewel it is. So today's lines read like this. I embody the original tradition of my lineage, the body, sunyata, and the arms, mudra. From the beginningless to endless, only one task, though expressed in 10,000 shapes and forms. The basic matter of our line hits the mark straight and true. Pass this on in all directions without a wish for gain. This is the practice called silent illumination. I embody the original tradition of my lineage, the body sunyata in the arms and hands, mudra. This line implies that the moment I come to the threshold of the zendo and bow, my bow, my steps to my seat and my subsequent sitting and walking are echoes. They are echoes of Aiken Roshi's bows, Zazen and Kinhin. They're echoes of Yamada Roshi, of Yasutani Roshi, of Harada Roshi's, on back to Hakuin, Dogen, Hong Shui, and Da Hui. They are echoes of the bows, Zazen, and Kinhin of Miao Dao, Miao Zung, and the other daughters of emptiness. They are echoes that started before Shakyamuni Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree, although he specifically is what brought many of us to the Zendo this week, to our Winter Bones Rohatsu Sesshin. Literally, Rohatsu means Sesshin on the eighth day of the 12th lunar month, the day that Shakyamuni Buddha saw the Venus star for the very first time, though he had been looking at and for it his entire life. On that early morning, this man, an ordinary man, not a god or a goddess, not a deity of any type, not a son or a daughter of a god, any more or less than anyone else in this room is related to a god, saw the Venus star and woke up. He forgot himself and was confirmed by the myriad things. In this case, the myriad things were in the form of the Venus star. His realization was and is our realization. And any man or woman who takes herself in hand can have this very same experience. The experience of knowing that all beings, sentient and insentient, near or far away, already born or yet to be born, have the wisdom and compassion of the Tathagata, although each must know this for himself or herself. And this experience is not one-sided or one way. When Shakyamuni Buddha woke up, the star too woke up. When Hong Shui woke up, so too did Chuang Monastery and all the environs near and far. This is how our bowing at the threshold, our sitting and walking are echoes. We are participants in an ongoing, ever-unfolding conversation that started even before the first of the seven ancient Buddhas was born. This conversation is beginningless and endless, and to practice fully is to be a full-bodied participant, an embodied participant in this unfolding. The text says, I embody the original tradition of my lineage, the body, sunyata, and the arms, mudra. On one level, I embody the way of Zazen, where body and mind, when forgotten, fall away. And seemingly paradoxically, when body and mind fall away, I most fully inhabit this body. When the self is forgotten, I most genuinely express this mind. When I come to the threshold of the Zendo, when I come to my seat, when I bow, giving up my thoughts, feelings, and desires, giving up notions, dreams, and scribblings. I embody the tradition of my lineage. When I take my seat and sit up, I embody the tradition of my lineage. In this way, you enliven the tradition, and the tradition supports you in coming to realization. Those who went before support you, and you support them. To support and be supported makes a lovely circle, like the mudra made by our arms. In that great circle of arms, echoed by the smaller circle of hands, you hold and are held by all things. The circle of arms and hands is the same circle that we wear on the rakasu. This circle contains all things past, present, and future. And of course, it also contains nothing at all. That is the great mystery of our way. It includes each thing, and it includes nothing at all. It contains all and contains nothing at the very same moment. And this is the circle of wonder that we all continually wander. This apparent mystery is directly stated with the words, I embody the original teaching of my lineage, the body, sunyata. The original teaching of our tradition is not the Four Noble Truths, it's not dependent origination, and it's not the paramitas. Those came later. They came out of the original teaching. The original teaching was the intimate relationship had between Shakyamuni Buddha and the Venus star, when both fell away, when both and all others woke up. This event was a radical revisioning of relationship. It was intimate, with both containing and contained. We contain and are contained by all things with this body that has no form, although it cooks oatmeal in the morning, collects the mail at noon, and puts the cat out at dark. We experience the original teaching, sunyata, that is formless and fathomless, as we chant sutras, chop vegetables, and clean the outhouses. The body, sunyata, occupies the timeless spring. Yet, as I quoted from Hung Shui yesterday, yet, when that time and season comes, laboring at the plow, who fears the rose, deep mud? Embodying the body sunyata puts us in and out of time. Embodying sunyata puts us in and out of seasons. It puts us in and out of space. And though this sounds confused and unruly in description, the experience is not. When we fully embody what has no form or body, we enter, we touch, we realize the original teaching of my lineage. we enter the original dwelling of this tradition, which has no walls, no floor, and no ceiling. Hung Shui said, the essence is to empty and open out body and mind, as expansive as the great emptiness of space. Naturally, in the entire territory, all is satisfied. This strong spirit cannot be deterred. In event after event, it cannot be confused. The moon accompanies the flowing water. The rain pursues the drifting clouds. Settled, without a grasping mind, such intensity may be accomplished. Only do not let yourself interfere with things, and certainly nothing will interfere with you. Body and mind are one suchness. Outside this body, there is nothing else. The same substance and the same function, one nature and one form, all faculties and all object dusts are instantly transcendent. So it is said, the sage is without self, and yet nothing is not herself. Each is part of your great body. Each is your body. And this understanding is the birthplace of a natural compassion. You are all things you. How or why would you not trust each as kin? Each is closer than your own breath. The text next says, from the beginningless to endless, only one task, though expressed in 10,000 shapes and forms. I would not call it a task. We sit at the gateway of ease and joy, even when sad or lonely, happy or delighted, frustrated or relieved. And sitting at that gateway, we allow not even one thing to arise from outside ourselves. The other way to say it might be, we sit at the gateway and realize each is no other than the Buddha body, and it comes forward in 10,000 ways. Now, as the flickering candle on the altar. Now, as the wind scattering the last alder leaves. Now, as rain dripping from inverted copper bell to bell as the day moves to dusk. This is the dynamic world of reality where things and you move unfettered and unsaddled, connected, and intimate. This body sunyata, arms, mudra, and not even one thing, is the mind that has no walls, is the body with no inside or outside. And our joy is to realize it and express it. And we express it not in a grand or religious way, not necessarily even in a profound or spiritual way. We express it by saying hello to the mailman in the morning. We express it by playing a game of catch with the neighbor girl. And we express it by talking to a student on the phone, recently diagnosed with Parkinson's. this one thing which isn't a thing, is that simple and is that ordinary? It is to be unbridled of our associative thinking and feeling, of our mental formations and formulations. And because it is beginningless, it is also endless. Yet we mature in our capabilities and abilities in expressing it. And though it is that simple and that natural, still we will slip and fall. And from that we deepen. Still we will stumble and trip. And from that we learn. And still we will fail again and again and again. But we too still will know that each of these things also is it. Our very failure is the body of the Tathagata. Our very slip is the Buddha body. Each thing, the original home, the body, sunyata, expressed in 10,000 shapes and forms. A word I used a moment ago was intimacy. To know that we are intimate is our one task or our great joy. Intimate with ourselves, with each other, and with each thing, whether animate or inanimate. This is the basic matter of our line. And I suppose another word we might use, although it carries much cultural and romantic language, is love. This is the love that we do not fall into or out of. This is the love that is open and accepting to that which shows up in our lives, the good and the bad, the sad and the happy, the tragedy and the fulfillment. And sometimes that openness and acceptance might have a pout or a sneer, but we recognize in those postures, those simply another expression of our love for all things. The basic matter of our line is to feel deeply and touch the vibrancy of life in all its glittering, glistening shapes and forms. It is, no matter where we are in our practice and lives, to come into the marketplace with open hands and a slight, never overdone smile in our eyes or on our lips. And of course, it isn't really us smiling or glistening. It is, we are simply, naturally, another expression of the one thing, the one task, which is actually not even one. So enjoy this last day of sitting. Enjoy sitting at the gate of ease, no matter your condition. For there is no other place. There is no other time. There is no other.